If you're a dad, you're not afraid to work hard.
Never give up.
Never compromise.
And the best dads always look for ways to get better.
I'm looking for something to energize me.
I'm looking for something to push me further.
And I'm looking for something to go with these nachos.
Dad Fuel, the energy drink designed just for dads.
So I can finish the fight.
So I can finish the race.
So I can finish mowing the lawn. And later on, I might watch some golf.
The fuel dads need to do the things dads do.
Climb the highest peak.
Go the furthest distance.
Check the scores. Read the newspaper. Give amazing relationship advice.
Why are you crying?
You should really talk to your mother about that.
Dad Fuel comes loaded with taurine, ginseng, and 100% of your daily recommended value of Hi, Hungry, I'm Dad.
I start every morning with the four D's. Devo's Donuts. Dad Fuel, down blanket. Breakfast of champions, baby.
Now available in four bold flavors. Original Orange, Grow Model Raspberry, Grow Master Mango, and I Thought I Told You to Take Out the Garbage Grape.
You can't touch my passion.
You can't touch my drive.
And you definitely can't touch my thermostat. No way.
So whether you're thirsty for victory
or just plain thirsty.
No, seriously, it's empty. Can I get another one?
Dad Fuel.
Because I am fearless.
Because I am unstoppable.
Because the players on TV aren't going to yell at themselves.
Come on! Throw the ball!
We have it for sale for $19.95 right out there, all right? We are so excited that it's Father's Day. My name's Amber Cavazos. I'm director of She Community, which is our women's group here. Seriously, that's funny. It takes something to parent, right? Moms and dads in the house. It takes something beyond ourselves. But we are so grateful for you fathers and for your role in your family as well as your role in our community here at church. It makes a huge difference. So thank you for being here today instead of being on the lake, right, or somewhere else. She could be anywhere but here. So we're grateful, too, for everybody that's here, especially our guests. Thank you for choosing Mosaic today. We want to invite you to our 10-minute party, which happens under the white tent. We have a gift for you. It's a great, cool Hope for All shirt that you will see around here somewhere, I'm sure, this morning. But we want you to get your questions answered, meet our leaders, and just welcome you to our community here. Well, it has been a great, great series. Have you been keeping up with Voices, our current series? It is awesome. It is a very good series. If you've missed a couple weeks, you can always tune in at live.mosaicchurch.tv, where all of our live stream audience, they tune in all the time, but you can catch it, what we've had the last few weeks. So God's doing a great thing in our church, and so we just want you to be aware of the voices, his voice, more importantly, all right? So do me a favor, watch the screens, and we're going to get ready for our talk today.
Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior."
Good morning. What's up? What's up, guys? Well, happy Father's Day, obviously. Happy Father's Day. Hey, can we make some noise for Metro? Those guys join us. Live stream as well. Yes, and I just want to say, I want to give it up for, obviously, for dads, coaches, mentors, spiritual dads. I mean, you know, I mean, we're trying to make a big deal about this because it is a big deal. Because they have influenced us in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful for the people in my life. And so it's great to just have a moment, a weekend that we can just acknowledge that. I know it comes with a lot of emotions, right? Dad Day is kind of interesting as well as I navigate this with my father passing away. And it's a thing. It's hard. It's tough. But it's a good thing to come together and acknowledge that. Glad you're in the room. So today's message is not going to be a dad message. It's not. I was going to do the whole message on the dad fuel commercial, but I decided not to. Decided not to do that. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about something that I think we can all relate to. I'm ending our conversation, the series that we've been having, a series of conversations on voices. So if you're a guest here, first time tuning in, first time Metro, first time, this is the last installment. So I don't know if it'll make a total sense to you, but the past couple of weeks we've been talking about creating an environment to really hear from God. So this whole series has really not been about like here's a couple of things that you need to do a checklist. It's really about creating an atmosphere that you can truly hear God's voice, because God speaks in very different ways. And sometimes God shows us something and he speaks to us. Sometimes he lets us feel something and he speaks to us. Sometimes he literally speaks to us. He gives us dreams, visions. And so this past series, every week there's been a title. And so this week there's a title as well. And so, but it's a little different. The title today for today is Words of a Warrior. Words of a Warrior. Can you say that out loud with me? Can you say that? Words of a Warrior. Words of a Warrior. What does that mean? Why am I saying that? First of all, let me ask you this. Talk about words. Have your words ever gotten you into trouble? Anybody? Right? Yes, of course. This morning, anybody said something this morning that you're going to have to buy lunch for? Right, yes. Yeah. Guys, have your words got you into trouble? Can I get an amen? Yes. No, not women. Excuse you. I was talking to the guys. Guys, you here, please? Nice. All right, we are in trouble. It's doomed. It's true. We've said some things that we wish we didn't say out loud. I mean, we thought them, but we wish we didn't say out loud. There are things that we've done in my world that I live in, and even the context that I work in. I've had a lot of opportunities to really say some awful things. And when I mean awful, I don't mean like crude, or I mean just I didn't know. I'm bilingual, and then I speak for a living, so that's always fun. And so I've said all kinds of things that mean totally different things to audiences and people. But I think I'll never forget this one instance. And it was not on the stage. I was having a conversation with someone. It was the first year or something of doing church work. And so I was like youth pastor, a college pastor, talking to a student, a college student. And she was talking to me about her mom and dad situation, and it's just kind of complicated. And then she started talking about her dad and mom, and she honestly started complaining a little bit about it. And I had interacted with her mom a little bit, and so I didn't know what I was doing. I just started agreeing with her. Stop laughing, man. Like, I just started agreeing with her, right? Because I didn't know what to do. So I was like, yeah. And then she said something, and I knew her mom, so I finally said, you know what, I can definitely tell. I mean, I can definitely understand. I think your mom is controlling, yeah. Yeah, I just said it. I said it. Nothing, I thought this was like an A and B conversation. It's not going to go anywhere. She wasn't tweeting anything. I didn't think anything of it. A couple of days later, I'm in the church, and this guy comes up to me. Older man, comes up. He goes, he doesn't even say hello. He says, so, you think my wife is controlling? Wow. See, I've survived, though. I've survived. I'm still a pastor. Yeah! But the stuff I've said, I should be deported for twice, you know? Like, but I'm still here. Why are words so important? And what do they have to do with hearing from God? Now, here's the big idea. I want you to memorize this, okay, if it's possible. I want you to understand that voices end up becoming words. Voices become words. But words create worlds. Like, so what we hear, if you hear it long enough, it begins to give us language. Like, so many, if you're a parent, you've said this. You've thought this when you were young. You're like, okay, these parents are saying something or doing things. When I'm a parent, I will never do those things. There's some things they say, and we're like, I don't say that. Like, for example, I said so. Or, do this because I said so. Have you ever heard that, right? Have you ever caught yourself as a parent saying that to your kid? Because I said so. And then you go, oh my gosh, I'm turning into my mom. Like, what is going on? It's amazing that what we hear gives us language, creates language for us. But then that language, those words, in fact, create the world we live in. They create the family dynamic that we have or we experience. They create the relationships that you experience right now. They create your career. They create so many things. Words create what? Worlds. It is amazing. Some of us are living in a particular world. It has nothing to do with the people around us. We created it. You know why? With our words. We created our identity, good, bad, ugly. We created it. We heard it for sure. We heard it. We heard it, heard it, heard it. And sometimes we've heard some things that maybe even from a dad figure in our life, in one sense, that was not good, negative. But we heard it and we were in that environment. That began to give us language. And that language, then now we create worlds with that. It's given us the world. So why is it important? It's important because if you and I are going to really truly hear God, you're going to have to pay attention to the world you are creating. And it's connected to the voice you hear, and it's connected to the language you have been given, and what actually comes out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth really creates so much. It's interesting in the scriptures where it says that God said, "Let there be light," if you know that story, and that the world was created. What's fascinating is the scientists are some of them actually believe that it's not just that space is undiscovered, but in fact the universe and universes are being created even now. It's not that we just have the ability not to see them, but they feel like there's life still, like the worlds are still happening. Creation is still happening. So as if it was. When God said, "Let there be light," and it's still going on. His words are still creating worlds. So how does it affect our life? What's the world you live in? So this is going to be a deeper conversation. And I think for some of the guys, I mean, this is really important. So let's jump in. I'll give you a couple of passages. First of all, we're going to jump into this big idea of, why did I name this title of this talk, Words of a Warrior? Obviously, I explained to you why words are so important. But why warrior? When I say, you're a warrior, you probably would think, some of you would go, yes. Others of you, not so much. Some of you would say, not today. Not today. Yesterday was great. No, I don't feel like, because it seems like warrior means like you're winning, right? You're confident. Here's the truth. You're all warriors. And here's why I know that. Because all of us, each one of us, watching, listening in this room, you are facing battles. You have a battle that you're fighting. All of us. It's different. We're all facing battles. You're actually at war. You're warring against something. So you're a warrior. But the words of a warrior are extremely important. So let's start with, if you are a warrior or not, let's start with the biggest hindrance of having this, even this conversation go any further. And that is, what do you think are the words that you have used to define yourself? What are some of the things you call yourself? Because you know, and we know, we've heard this just recently, that voices become what? Words. And words create world. So what have you said about yourself that you are now living out? Because if you don't confront that, there's no other, it's going to be very hard to hear anything from God. Because whatever you have created, the filter you've created with your words, that is the filter you're going to hear God from. So God could be saying something so pure, so clearly, it doesn't matter. Because the filter you have will set the course. The filter will filter everything. Good or bad, It'll filter everything. What is your filter? What words have you called yourself? Here's why it's so important. Because your words create what? The world you live in. And it creates a lot of consequences in your life. First passage I want to take us to is found in Numbers. Can you say Numbers? Okay. Numbers. It's Old Testament stuff. So Old Testament, chapter 13, if you put it on the screen for you as well. This is the conversation that's happening. Throughout the Old Testament, God shows people and tells people, hey, I want to take you to a place. And it's very symbolic. Like, God wants to take you to a place where a quality of life, I mean, in this case, this was an actual place. God says, hey, I want you to realize that this place is the place I'm going to give you. It's something that I've promised to you. I've taken you out, and I'm going to give you this. I want you to go scout the land. They actually do that. So Israel, these people, they take 12 leaders from 12 tribes of Israel. They go out. They send these leaders. Can you say leaders? Who are they? Anybody? They were leaders. They go out and scope the land. They come back, and then they begin to use their what? Words to describe what the deal was. And here's what happens. So they come back, and it says, they start off, they say, the others said this, we can't attack those people. So they go out, look at this land. They say, they're way stronger than we are. They spread, and what do? They spread scary rumors about the people of Israel. Among the people of Israel. They said, we scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that what? Does what? Swallows up people. What whole? What is that? What is it? Is that the upside down? What are we talking about? Stranger Things? No, what's going on here? No. And then he goes on and says, everybody we saw was what? Huge. Why? We even saw the Nephilim, giants. Okay, these giants, it says over here, from Anak giants that came from Nephilim. Basically, there were rumors about these people group. They were just big people. And so, and then it keeps on going. It says, alongside them, these are the people. These are the leaders talking and telling everybody. Alongside them, we felt like, help me out, we felt like, what's that word? Grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. A Karate Kid reference here, right here, just so you know. Okay? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody, please? Please? Who does not know? Shame on you. Okay. For being too young. Okay, so, and then it says this, and they look down on us. So now there's a major projection going on. I looked at them, we looked at them, and it made me feel like a grasshopper. Out of all the things, a grasshopper. And then they project, and they go, and I'm pretty sure they looked at us as if we were what? Grasshoppers. Have you ever had someone make you feel so small? You walk in, and you're like, I feel like a grasshopper. Now, you might not think grasshopper, obviously, but you're like, I just feel like there are certain environments, right, with people that you walk into and they just take out they bring up the insecurity. You just go like, oh, I don't know. Like, you're a grown adult, and then all of a sudden you turn into a toddler. Have you ever seen adults act like toddlers? Anybody? Anybody? Yes. Don't point. It's Father's Day. Come on. We do. We have people in our lives that bring out our fear and insecurity, but then the opposite too. We have people and environments in our life that brings out the best. The reason why people quit their jobs is not because, actually the number one reason is because of the environment they're in. Not like they don't like to do what work or they don't like what they're doing. Sometimes it's just the environment, because you walk in and you just feel so small. You leave defeated at the end of the day. And then there are other places you could do whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. The quality of work doesn't even matter in one sense, but the quality of people create the quality of the atmosphere, and that changes the game for us. Is there something in your life that's ever made you feel like a grasshopper? Is there any failure in your life that because of that, it crushed you and it cut you down? Now, why is this important? Because if we're going to hear from God, unfortunately, this is what God does. If you're going to truly hear from God, He's going to take you back to the point of your deepest failure. And He wants you to confront that first. Because that deepest fear of failure has caused so much anxiety, so much turmoil in your life. It's caused you so much pain, and it's caused you to work around so many things in your life. And God knows this. He knows that that failure, that issue, that thing in your life has now become the filter to which you will hear God. And unless you remove that filter, remove that fear, remove whatever that is, if you don't remove it, you will never, friends, you will never be able to, not because you're not spiritual enough, because you just won't be able to hear God clearly. Everything that He says will be distorted because it's going through a filter of your past, a filter of pain, a filter of fear, anxiety. And so when God says, I want to speak to you clearly, He goes, I want to take you to a place to confront something. What is that area of your life that's caused you the most fear, where you had an epic fail? In fact, it's a place of shame for you. If you and I want to hear God's voice, and if you want to get words, proper words, real words that define who we are, not grasshopper words. If we want to do that, and if we acknowledge that words create what? Worlds. Your family, your career, your environment, your they just create the atmosphere all and around you. They set the climate. I mean, they do that. If we acknowledge that, then you and I have to do this. You have to confront and go back to an area of your deepest shame. And I know this is a very hard conversation, so that's why I picked Father's Day to do it. Hey! Don't worry, dads, we have like pop and soda for you outside. That won't help. But yeah, we got something to give you. So let's jump in and figure out what is God up to here. So why does He want you to face your fears? We understood this. But let me ask you this. Do you know what you look like on the other side of fear? Do you know what you look like on the other side of your own fears? Because you know and I know that we are very, very aware of the feelings on the front side of fear, right? You have to have this conversation. We got to do this. We got to talk about this. What happened here? Okay, we know what we feel before, right? Have you ever gone into a meeting or you're about to go to a meeting or have a confrontation with someone? Do you know what happens to you? You know exactly, right? Some of you like confrontation too much. We'll pray for you. But others of us, the rest of us, we know what we're doing. We're like, oh gosh, can we avoid this? Can we you don't want to do it. But on the other side, you're a different person. So there's a lady, her name is Lynn Vickery. Lynn and Sherry, her and her husband are been part of Mosaic for a long time. She's actually painted a lot of the walls here. Lynn comes to our staff meeting sometimes. And so a couple of weeks ago, she shared that she was going to confront one of her deepest fears. We're like, oh, okay. And so it was skydiving. Skydiving. Which is not a fear, it's a real thing. Like, why would you want to jump out of a plane? Right? Anybody? Why would you want to? Who would jump out of a plane? Anybody? Seriously? Who would not? Thank you. Thank you. I mean, the idea of jumping out of a plane is cool. For me to say I did that is very, very cool. For me to do it? No, not so much. Not so much. Not cool about that. So she says that. She said, and I'm going to go do my first jump. So I got some pictures. This is her first jump, okay? So this first picture of hers is like she is all getting like ready for, you know, just being suited up. So there she is, right? And by the way, that shirt is illegal because it's illegal because we don't have that color Hope for All shirt. So if you're a guest here, she took the shirt and dyed it to her favorite color. We're suing her for that, by the way. Just joking. And some of you guys are like, I want that color. Shut it. Okay. So, and by the way, you can just dye it. Anyways, so this is one picture. She's getting ready. Okay, next. There she is. She's so happy. Or crazy. I don't know. She's so happy. Most crazy people are happy. Anyways, but that, wow. Whoa, right? Oh, yes. Oh, my. Wow. I don't know what she's doing there, but that's wow. She loves that picture. She loves that picture. So she shows up. She tells us this. And then the week later, she comes back at our staff, and she goes, I did it and all that. I'm here. I'm like, glad you're here. And then she says this. She talked a lot about it. She says, you know, the reason why she did it, it was symbolic for her, and she wanted to really conquer this practical fear because it leads to other things in her life. And just a really great, I was happy for her. And then she said this. And this coming Friday, I'm going again. What? I was like, you're jumping again? I was like, listen, the scripture says you will not test the Lord your God. Listen. And she's like, oh, I'm jumping again. I was like, okay. What happened to you? Like, what happened to you? She's become a different kind of person on the other side of her fear. Some of us will never know who we are, what could we actually be. Because some of us will struggle for a very long time on the front side of fear. But let me just tell you, on the back side, you are a different person. And that's the person God says, that person hears me. That person hears me. So, let's go to a place, okay? It's going to be a little painful, maybe. But go to a place where it was just a fail. It was epic fail for you. And see what God wants to do and why our words are important. So, let's jump into our next passage, which is in Ezekiel. Again, Old Testament, Ezekiel. If you're like, I have never heard that name. It is not just a brand. It is actually in the scriptures, okay? So Ezekiel 37, this is where, this describes a vision he had, and God took him to a place. So what I'll do is I'll read the whole thing, and I'll give you a couple of points that go along with it. First couple of verses, it starts off, it says, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with, help me out, with what? With what? With bones, okay. He led me all around among the bones. So I'm like going through the bones that covered the valley floor. So there's a lot of bones, and he took me. Now he's seeing a vision, he's seeing things. God shows us things. He speaks to us through visions and dreams, by the way. And so this is a vision of him in a valley of dry bones. You've probably heard that term before. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely what? Dried out. Here's the number one thought here with this. God needs to pick your battles. You need to let God pick your battles. It starts off by saying that the Spirit of God led him. If you want to hear God more, you have to sign up to be led by God's Spirit. And you have to sign up for actually battling against the battles or facing the giants or facing the demons, in one sense, that God wants you to face, not the ones you want to. Some of us are spending so much time at war with something or battling something or fighting against something that honestly, frankly, is of no consequence. You are distracting yourself with the little battles because you don't want to face the big ones. And I get that. I would much rather fight battles that I will win in than ones that I have no control over and they're very, very painful. So what happens is God takes him to a place, and then this is a place of dry bones. Number one question, why? Why? What's going on here? So if you don't believe the whole story, here's what you do know. Here's what history tells us, is when people groups would fight among themselves, with the story of even the Jewish nation, when they were being occupied and there was wars that would go out, a defeat by your enemy led to a slaughter, which the soldiers in that battle were left unburied. So the symbolically, what God is saying is that this is a place that has been left undone, is a place of shame. They were not even given a proper burial. This was a place of total defeat. They didn't. There was no closure to this. It was a massacre, and they were just left there. There's a certain area of your life that's not been buried, and you just got killed, and all you wanted to do is just run away from it and walk away. And I don't blame you. But the bones are still there. It's not been dealt with. And they're dry bones still in that valley. And you haven't really resolved it. And God says, I need you to resolve this. I need you to look at this. I need you to look at your place of shame and defeat. I need you to do this. And then God starts asking questions. Then he asked me, this is God saying, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a what? Help me out. A prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is so symbolic. It's so weird, isn't it? It's like saying to your defeat, listen to God. It's the strangest thing. He says, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm about to put breath into you and make you alive again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will breathe into you and you will come to what? You will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Key point here is that this battle, that if you allow God to lead you, second thought is, this battle is going to require supernatural power. It's going to require supernatural power. So if God's saying, can these bones live? The answer is, God, I don't think so. And I love this answer because he doesn't say no. He only says, only you know. Because I think a lot of us, when we pray about or think about and talk to God about a past failure, there's a part of us that thinks, you know, if you would have helped me out, this wouldn't have happened. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a part of us that go, I don't know. It's complicated. But it's going to require supernatural power. Is it possible for God to take that epic failure, that failed marriage, that failed career, that failed relationship, that failed dream, that hope? Is it possible for God to turn that alive back and make it live again? Is it possible? I know it's not through our efforts, but is there something that you are praying about, something that you're dreaming about, something that you're kind of pursuing, and that the only way it would ever really work out is that if God would supernaturally do something? Because if your whole life you're just trying things that only require your power, you're probably not fighting the right battles. They're not big enough. So, what in your life, you're like, oh, dude, it scares the bejesus out of me. That's not a word, but I made it up. It's not biblical. What could it be? So that's what happens. Let's move on. This is what happens. Verse 7, so, the guy says, so here's what I did. I did what? He says, I just spoke. Did he believe it? I don't know. We don't know. He says, I don't want you to believe it. It's all good. You just say it. Some of us, we go, man, I don't feel this. I don't feel this. Yeah, I don't need you to feel it. I just need you to say it. You know why? Because words create what? Worlds. You just say it. So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, I spoke, and there a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched, like I didn't even do anything, I just said it. Then I watched muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, and they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a what? Prophetic message to the winds, not the bones, to the winds. I'm talking to all kinds of nonsense. What's going on here? All kinds of things that don't make sense. By the way, if you're doing things sometimes that you think is God and they don't make sense, you're probably doing the right thing. Okay? So here he says, speak to the winds, right? He says, son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Again, it's like, throw my name in there. Throw it in. Use it all the time. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies. Breathe into these dead dreams so they may what? They may live again. What needs to live again in your life? And how is it going to? Because I don't know what you've heard, but because the voices gives you language. And for some of us, we've heard these things, and they've given us words, and now we just say words like, it's never going to happen. That's always how it's going to be. This is as good as it gets. And those words have created our reality. And here he's saying, stop. I want you to use words, and they're going to create a world that it's not possible for you to even create, but just speak this into being. So he says, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So what did I do? I felt it. I believed it. I got goosebumps. No. He goes, I what? I spoke. I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into these bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent what? The people of Israel. They are saying, Israel represents you right now. They're saying what? We've become old, dry bones. All hope is what? It's gone. And our nation is finished. It's all hope is gone. There's some area in your life. You don't say it maybe. Maybe you do. All hope is gone. All hope is gone. Hey, there was an epic fail. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's not gonna happen. Here's what I know about this passage. If you're taking notes, here's point three. This is a big one. If you're not taking notes, you need to know this. You win. If you do what? If you show up. You're like, oh, well, no. If you show up, we don't even show up. It's too painful. It's too hard. It's too complicated. Too many people involved. It's too much stuff in the back. There's just so much. I've moved on. No, you haven't. You haven't moved on. No, you're doing a lot of good things right now. But you have a whole valley of dead bones. You got to solve that. You got to face that. How do I do that? I can't do that. It's so... Just show up. Just show up. I know, just being a guy, being a dad, just being in leadership, the voices sometimes in my that are the loudest in my head, in my world sometimes, are just negative voices and of insecurity, like massive insecurity. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I was talking about how I get insecure about certain things. And the guy was like, you? I was like, I just fake it well, bro. Some of us just fake it well. Others of us don't. We all have voices of insecurity. We all have voices that call us to less. All of us. And because they're so loud, sometimes we just forfeit before we even play. And some of you guys are like, I'm going to be a terrible dad. Just show up. Just show up. I'm going to be a terrible, just show up. See, if you're connected to God, you win if you show up. Do you know that? You just win. Like, your relationship, you begin a relationship with God, you just won. Like, you're like, really? No, you just won. You win if you just show up. Because it rests on Him and His power. The stuff that He wants you to do, it's like dry bones. There's no amount of intellect or human power that can resurrect them. It's going to take speaking to the four winds, whatever those are, and speaking to dead things to come alive. It's like joining the echo of God that says, and let there be light. You join the chorus, and all the things just supernaturally start happening. But some of us, you're just not even joining the chorus because we have another narrative that we're listening to. That narrative is giving us words, and we're speaking those out, and those words are creating what? Worlds that we live in. But we can change all of that. So the last big idea is this. The last point, the last big idea is this idea of speaking life. Let me read you the last passage here. It says, verse 12 says, therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open up, this is a cool imagery. I will open up graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. I have done what I have said. Yes, yes, the Lord has done what? Spoken. There's something about speaking life into dead places. We use our words for all kinds of things. And there are so many passages in the scriptures about talking about your words. All about controlling your tongue and not letting unwholesome things come out of your mouth. And we understand the power of words. I mean, there used to be a saying that says, you know, sticks and stones won't break my bones. Or will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Anybody heard that? Hear that? Yeah? I mean, I don't even know if they say it anymore. Because people have that's not true. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will put me in therapy. I just rewrote that. Write that down. No, words will actually handicap me forever. Words will paralyze me. Words will infect my soul. I'd rather you not even say anything if you're not gonna speak life. And some of us, we've allowed, because of our image, we've allowed God the negativity to use us. We type. We say things. We speak. We are creating worlds with our words. Either it's online or verbally in front of people. We're doing that. And they're infecting and destroying our lives. I'll just get a little serious here. My background is Middle East, and so after 9/11, obviously there was a lot of, I was, you know, me being from the Middle East, terrorism. A lot of people want my opinion about terrorism. Hey, why do the Muslims just feel justified in bombing people and doing all this and all that? And there's so many theories out there about that. But let me tell you, when a people group, and it doesn't matter if it's terrorists or it's just people who are just prejudiced. If you want to justify mistreating someone, you never want to start by mistreating them first. First, you want to call them something that they're not. You have to dehumanize someone first. You have to call them names. You take away their humanity. You call them something else. Because those words will justify how you'll treat them. It happens all over, and it's been happening as humanity marches on, all the time. Because words have so much power. And for some of us, the reason why our lives look the way they are is because you have called yourself things. You've dehumanized and maybe under-spiritualized your life and who you are. You have devalued your very identity. I'm a grasshopper. I'm whatever. And you treat yourself like that. Because words create what? Your world. Your world. So today, as we end, you're going to speak life. You'd rather just not say anything than say something that's not speaking life. And Kim, let me just tell you what. Let me just give you a big idea here. You will either use your words to condemn, or you'll use your words to proclaim. You'll use your words to condemn yourself, situations you're in, people, your loved ones. You'll just condemn. Complain, condemn, everything that's wrong, it's just negative, negative, negative. Or you'll proclaim. And when you proclaim and you prophesy, you'll see God's supernatural work in your life. So your tongue, my words, will create the world. They'll create the environment. But let's do this. Let's create the world we want to live in. And let's speak life to them. Can I pray for you? All right. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this conversation, this past couple of weeks, as we've talked about what it means to really, really know you and hear from you. We realize, God, that you are a God that is continually speaking to us. But we are either in the wrong environment to hear you, or we have filters around us that just distort your voice. So God, today we say we are warriors. We are people who are loved by you, just picked by you. And you've spoken life into us. And so we're going to use our lives and our words to create the world that you died for, that you live for. God, when you said, let there be light, and you proclaimed something so prophetic, God, we do the same. We echo that same voice. And we choose to this morning repent from the words that condemn and complain, the words that just take away and keep us in fear of ourselves, of each other, words that divide and not unite. God, we move forward with you and we proclaim that we want to be people that prophesy into dead things in our lives. So God, I pray as we light candles, as we receive communion today, as we go to the cross, We're choosing, God, to prophesy. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.